Boy, we used to think that gold was the way to go, and you put a little this aside and a little that aside, and you're going to be okay. But is it true today that this is the first generation who will receive less in, say, Social Security benefits than any others paid in? And according to David Branshaw, it's only going to get worse. Now, David is a monetary expert and publisher of The Inflation Deception, 6 Ways the Government Tricks Us, and 7 Ways to Stop It. I always like to be one ahead. And editor also of Real Money Perspectives magazine. Hey, David, it is so much a pleasure to have you back. It's been a long time since we've talked.
It has, and it's great to be with you and to be broadcasting in the general neighborhood of where I was born, which would be Sacramento.
Oh, fantastic. Well, listen, you know, some of the information that you gave me, it always is astounding to me. Back in 1960, we got 7 times more benefits than we paid in with Social Security. 1985, we could still expect to get more than what we paid in. That ain't true today, right?
No, it isn't. And, you know, the rules keep changing. I think I saw one headline a week or so ago. It said, for boomers, retirement age is a moving target.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, we have heads of insurance companies and soon government leaders saying the system will not be able to sustain a retirement model at 65 when people are living into their 80s and in some cases 90s. So comics joke that 80 is the new 65. So how old does that make you, Mary?
I'm 66.
Well, then that's the new 50.
The new 50, yeah. Well, the whole thing is 65 was set up when Social Security came into effect, which was what, 1937, one, something like that.
Yeah, right in that neighborhood, okay. Right, FDR's idea.
Because my mom, I still have her Social Security card when she first started, and it was the first year Social Security came out. But 65 was old back then. They figured you'd die before you would collect anything, right?
Exactly, and you know that's the way that the whole system was set up was that it was within 2 to 4 years of the anticipated average mortality rate,
mm-hmm.
and with that increasing, it's causing all kinds of problems on a personal level for people. But from the government standpoint, I mean, right now they're looking at about $120 trillion in unfunded liabilities that they've promised. These are promises that they've made through Social Security, Medicare, and other programs.
Mm-hmm.
And these programs go $5 trillion deeper in debt every year. It's just not sustainable.
What drives me crazy, though, David, is that Social Security has been raided for decades. We know that. I feel like there's some little box in a vault someplace in Washington, D.C., and it has a whole bunch of IOUs in it. They've used it for everything but Social Security. If they wouldn't have touched it, or if they'd pay back everything that they owe Social Security, it would probably be pretty viable.
Exactly. It's a Ponzi scheme of sorts that essentially uses today's money to pay yesterday's liabilities. And, you know, as the workforce works longer, people have to take steps to prepare and protect themselves for the government essentially not being able to make good on those promises. And, you know, that's what the book Inflation Deception, 6 Ways Government Tricks Us and 7 Ways to Stop It is all about. That we put it out last year with Craig Smith and futurist Lowell Ponte,
mm-hmm.
and it really is designed to help give people some steps of how they can make the most of their retirement, and in some cases, people are going to have to consider working longer. I saw a story on MarketWatch today that it talked about one of the reasons people don't work longer is that the tax system is essentially punishing you for continuing to work,
sure.
Whereas a small change in making it an incentive, let's say just dropping the payroll tax at age 55, would give people an extra 10% income that they could put away. So there's a number of things that have to happen on a government level and on a personal level for people to question of, you know, am I ever going to retire?
Well, and people wanted to retire, but, you know, when the bottom fell out of the economy in 2008, they lost a lot. You have no choice. There's nothing there to retire on.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of people did look at their, you know, their real estate holdings as, you know, as the bulk of their retirement. Bubbles that get created by government, you know, pop, cause problems for everyone, and a lot of people are still recovering. A lot of people are starting over, and so they're rethinking what, you know, their 401ks and their IRAs and what they should do with it. One of the areas, of course, that has been a dramatic trend since we last talked over the last decade, meteoric rise of precious metal prices.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people aren't aware that you can actually roll over an existing IRA or a 401k into precious metal. The government allows you to do that, allowed it since 1986, actually, but it wasn't until gold prices started rising from roughly under 300 to over 1700 today.
Got it.
For gold, and silver from under $4 close to $30. Over. Now, what's really happening, Mary, as you know, because you know enough about economics, is that the price of gold and silver is not really changing.
No.
The goods and services that an ounce of gold or silver will buy is roughly the same over all of history. If you go back 2,000 years, 1,000 years, 500, even 100 years, and a 1 ounce gold coin throughout history would buy a certain amount of goods and services, and so it buys the same. So what's happening, and what we try to outline in the book, The Inflation Deception, is that we're like walking up a down escalator. Mm. People are putting away dollars, but the dollar itself is declining. And it's now to the point where, we're coming up next year in the 100th anniversary of the Federal Reserve and of income taxes. Interestingly, they both started in 1913.
Yeah, don't get me started on the Federal Reserve.
I know. But my point is that the 1913 dollar today will buy you 2 cents. And the prima facie evidence of that is that a $20 gold coin back in 1913, today, probably by next year, we're going to be looking at $2,000. So that means that your dollar will have dropped all the way down to about a penny when gold crosses 2,000.
You don't want to put everything in gold either.
We're actually saying to people at this point, buy gold, hope and pray it goes down. Because just like your car insurance, your health insurance, your medical insurance, you don't, cherish making those payments. And you don't hope that at the end of the year that you're going to die or get sick or get in a wreck or your home's going to burn down. But if something happens, you're covered. And that's kind of what we're talking about, is it's really peace of mind insurance, wealth insurance, whatever you want to call it, putting away, say, 10% of your liquid assets, maybe in some cases more, but at least a good little nest egg put away in real money that will hold its value and offset the losses that inflation. I mean, the news just came out today. I actually heard it on your news report about how, the household income is declining over the last 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was the headline. And that, the poverty rate has stabilized, but it's still ridiculously
high. Mm-hmm.
And the government's burning up about $100 billion in new debt every month. This rate can't continue. So we're facing this fiscal cliff at the end of this year, a tax cliff that's going to happen. And so we're saying that between now and the end of the year is the time to get your financial house in order, take some steps to prepare and reshuffle your assets that you do have that remain, and prepare for what could be a quite turbulent year next year, regardless of who wins the election this November.
Now, I got to ask you, because at one time, the gold was the gold standard. In other words, it backed the dollar in this country. I remember Fort Knox. Everything was at Fort Knox. Now, if gold is such a good standard, then why doesn't the government have the gold standard again?
First of all, governments hate gold. They always have, but it's been sort of a necessary evil to them to back up currencies. But we've gradually went off the gold standard, starting in 1933 when FDR recalled the gold. Then in 1971, you remember when Nixon sort of cut the final cord to gold, and we've had a floating currency. Why don't we go back to, that's a question that more and more people are asking every day and are looking at it. Even the Republicans added a plank to their platform saying they're going to set up a commission similar to Reagan did back in the 1980s to examine if it's feasible to do this. The problem is that with all of the money that's been created, the price of gold, it would have to be a fractional backing. It couldn't be 100%, or else the price of gold would be in the tens of thousands of dollars an ounce. That is not feasible. So it would have to be some kind of a fractional backing, a percentage of gold.
Like a 10% or 5%?
Probably in the 2 to 5% range to keep the price in the, the $1,500 to $2,500 range. The simple good news is that even if the government never does it, even if they don't go back to a gold standard, which I'd say the chances are rather remote when you consider that governments thrive on inflation. They create inflation, they say they fight it, but they need it in order to reduce value of the money for later on to pay back all this debt.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in fact, on the back of the book, The Inflation Deception, is a great quote by Friedrich Hayek that says, "History is largely a history of inflation, usually inflations engineered by governments for the gain of governments. Mm-hmm. So, and there's several different kinds of inflation. There's tax inflation, there's price inflation of our food and, you know, things that we buy every day. Now we're looking at, when it comes to retirement, age inflation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just no end to the ways that the government is essentially trying to keep itself going and growing rather than take care of its citizens. So the good news is the simple way to solve that is to do what the government likely will not do, and that is to put yourself on a personal gold standard by simply doing what I just said a few moments ago, taking a portion of your assets and putting them into tangible assets that will maintain a store of value. Because, Mary, that's the thing that's been missing from our money for 40 to 60 to really almost 100 years.
Now, what
is a store of value?
What makes you think that gold, the bottom won't drop out of gold, and we're going to go down back to $300 an ounce?
Well, you know, and again, I go back to what I just said, buy gold and hope it goes lower. If that happens...
Yeah, but not that much lower.
I don't lose that much. I'm really kind of kidding. But what I'm saying is that the gold is a true barometer of what's going on in a world that's driven by political spin and economic magic that's done on ledger sheets, et cetera, et cetera. Gold has now maintained itself above $1,000, and central banks are buying it again. You know, starting at about $1,000, China and India's central banks started buying. There's a tremendous amount of support. I doubt we're ever going to see gold below $1,000 again. The question really is, are we going to see it in the $3,000 to $5,000 range, and could it go even higher? Again, what we're saying is that if your gold goes down, let's just say it went all the way back to 300. Let's say it falls to 20% of what it's priced at now.
Uh-huh.
That will mean that our debt got under control, that we stopped spending more than we bring in, and that our future is looking bright, which means the other areas, the other 90% that people have their portfolio diversified in, stocks, bonds, housing, you know, real estate, et cetera, those are all going to be doing quite well. So what we're saying with gold, when you buy gold, is you're not really saying, I want to get rich quick. You're saying, I want to prevent myself from getting poor quick, and I want to have an escape hatch if the wheels fall off of our dollar as the reserve currency of the world, which is a very prestigious status that is right now much more jeopardy than anyone is willing to talk about, given the amount of debt that we have. So we're simply trying to be the voice of common sense and say, diversify your assets, a notion that was first announced by Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, into 7 or 8 different areas. And that way, since you don't know what disaster may befall the land, you better be protected against it. Again, very much the way you do with your other kinds of insurance. So,
yeah, but what if everything fails and I got my gold? You know, I've got it stored in the basement someplace,
okay,
or in a vault, okay? So who's going to buy it if there's no monetary system left?
Then just take the hurricane down in Florida. If ATMs are shut, if you come and with a gold coin or silver coin and you need a generator, you're going to go back to your basic economics, which is barter. And since gold is considered the world's money, it was created, I believe, by God as to be the money system for the world, gold and silver. And these other instruments that we've created, these credit and debt instruments, are simply allowing the powerful to manipulate things. But when you own the real thing for 6,000 years, you've always been able to buy your way to safety, so to speak, and get through a tough time. Whether you were a downed airman that was in World War II, they had coins sewn into the inside of their jacket with a little note that said, take me to help and you'll be rewarded in gold. And so gold has always been the escape hatch for government out of control. If you think things are going to get better, you think that we're going to turn things around, we're right on the edge of a new renaissance in America, that the debt will not overcome us, that our dollar is going to get stronger, everything is going to be coming up roses, then I'd say have a very small amount of gold, but still have some. On the other hand, if you're leaning the other direction, then I'd say have enough of it so that you have this ability to function on a basic economic level with another person trading for goods and services with something that's universally accepted.
Now, are we looking at gold bullion, gold coins, gold jewelry, gold what?
Well, the most popular form for the average person to own gold is in coins. you know, you can buy 1 ounce, you can buy half ounce, quarter ounce, tenth ounce. I mean, a tenth ounce gold coin is like having right now about $170. Silver, again, you know, you can buy in 1 ounce, or you can get the pre-1965 coins that were 90% silver. And, you know, you can have things down to a denomination of $2 or $3 in today's dollars of spending. Yeah, Swiss America, of course, deals with all types of gold. All of it is physically delivered, though. It's not something where you're saying, I want a share of a stock or of a gold mining company or something like that. These are physical coins that get shipped to your home, and you take personal responsibility for storing either in your house or in a deposit, safe deposit box, or wherever private place that you decide to put it. And that way you have it there at your arm's distance, so to speak, in an emergency if it's ever needed. And so not that the other forms of gold are necessarily bad, but we think that the core position that you have should be in something that you can physically hold in your hand. I mean, I don't know, Mary, if you've ever held an ounce of gold or silver in your hand.
Yes.
I'm assuming you have, because I'm assuming you probably have some. But the point is once you hold it in your hand, you understand the weight, the why it has been considered money. It takes a tremendous amount of work to dig it out of the ground, refine it, coin it into a coin, and you can go anywhere in the world, from the outback in Africa to Wall Street. You know, banks all over Europe have windows that accept gold and silver. We don't have that here in the States because, again, we've, you know, our government has never really been a great friend of gold.
That would stop them from printing money in the basement.
Yeah, exactly. The gold stands as a truth barometer of the shenanigans that are going on behind the scenes to create all this debt. So governments and politicians, typically, even Republicans now that say they want to put a plank in. I mean, let's face it, both parties have overspent for so long now that it's hard to really just say one or the other.
Oh, yeah, they're both guilty.
You know, the likelihood is, as far as your odds of where gold will go from here, I would say are much higher, again, unless you think that we're on the verge of getting all of these other problems taken care of with regard to the debt and the fiscal cliffs and the tax changes that are going on. And, you know, if you're a total optimist, then a minimal amount of gold. If you're a realist, as I would call it, again, we cover this and some of the different ways that people can get involved in trying to rein in inflation and control our government. You know, in the book Inflation Deception, if it's okay, I'd like to make a special offer to your audience to get a copy of this.
Yeah.
We're actually on the cusp of
releasing a new book. Let's do that, because we only have about 40 seconds left, so
okay.
I want to make sure you get it in.
Yeah. They can go to myideafactory.net. That's my website. There's a picture of the book, The Inflation Deception. If they click on that on the website, they can click and register online and get a free book, or they can call toll-free 800-289-2646. That's Swiss America, and all the first 50 callers, let's say, from your area, we'll go ahead and give a copy. This is a 270-page book, $20 retail price in bookstores, free to your audience there. First 50 callers, The Inflation Deception, 800-289-2646, and visit SwissAmerica.com for the latest economic news every day that we post. Really, my job is to try to bring the stories that are kind of buried among the headlines to the forefront to help people protect and prepare for what's coming ahead.
Fantastic. Hey, David, come back and visit again soon, okay?
I will do it. Next time we have a new book. The new book is in process right now. It'll be coming out in October. I'll get you a copy of it.
Dynamite, and we'll do it again. You take care now.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Again, that's David Bradshaw, The Inflation Deception, and it's myideafactory.net or 800-289-2646. Stay well.